The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello, welcome to Grace in Focus, this focused free grace ministry coming to you daily, right here. Today we ask the question, when did the church begin? Did it begin in Acts 2, or sometime before that, or sometime after that? Let's think about it together right here on Grace in Focus, a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society, located in North Texas. Find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org, including we have an online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree for free if you maintain a 3.0 average and qualify yourself for better service. Also, we'd love for you to register and come to our annual national conference. Find out details at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Hi, Bob.
Hi there, David. What do you got?
I have a question here from Greg, and he says here, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said he would build his church. Why do most denominations/teachers say that the church did not begin until Acts chapter 2?
All right, and I think he has some comment about in Luke 24, it says the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them.
Right. He calls it a follow-up question, and he says, is it possible that Acts 2 was the church being, in quote, endured with the power from on high, which is the Luke 24:49 passage?
Yeah, and the answer is yes and yes. Yes, that's when the church was born, and yes, that's when the apostles were endued with power on high.
Exactly.
But the reason we're taking this question, Dave and I talked about this before we came on, is because its tendrils go everywhere. I mean, this impacts so many things. How you understand the book of Acts
right.
often has a great impact on your understanding of the saving message. Right? I mean, there are a lot of people who go to Acts 2:38 and they say, in order to be born again, you've got to repent and be baptized. And they base this on a wrong understanding of the book of Acts.
Right.
So let's talk about when the apostles were born again. So all but Judas were believers. When did they come to faith?
During Jesus' ministry,
right.
at some point.
John 1 tells us Peter and Andrew came to faith at that point. John the apostle either came to faith at that point or had already come to faith when he was a disciple of John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that all of the disciples, except for Judas, came to faith at the very beginning of Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But when did they receive the Holy Spirit?
I think it was Acts chapter 2.
Very good, David. Your dispensationalism is leaking out.
Oh, no.
No, it's not leaking out. It's coming out.
It's bursting forth.
It's gushing, yeah. Yeah, see, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, that is, prior to Acts 2, everyone who believed in the coming Messiah for everlasting life was regenerated, that is, born again, and they were sealed with the Holy Spirit, so they were eternally secure. So I like to remember four ministries of the Spirit that happen at the moment of faith today as ribs: regeneration, indwelling, baptizing, sealing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the disciples were regenerated and sealed, but they were not yet baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ.
Right.
Nor were they yet permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but he will be in you. Mm-hmm. That's when they're endued with power on high.
Right.
So in Acts chapter 2, what you had is the apostles became part of the church. The apostles were not part of the church
right.
prior to that. No one was.
Because there was no church.
Exactly. The church is not the same thing as Israel.
Right.
And what the apostles were a part of was Israel. They were a part of redeemed Israel, right? Because they were believers, so mm-hmm. they were part of redeemed Israel. But then they became part of the church.
Well, that's a key doctrine, if you will, that the church is not part of Israel. Because if it was, then we would have to keep the law.
Right. And on top of that, that would mean then that the promises made to Israel are not going to be literally fulfilled.
Right.
They'll be figuratively fulfilled in the church, But Israel as a nation, oh, there would be no promise for that.
Right.
And there would be no promise. All the promises made to the patriarchs would ultimately move to the church. It's called replacement theology.
Right.
But here's the thing. When you look at a verse like Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, what we need to recognize is that receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit did not occur at the moment of faith for the apostles.
Right.
And it did not occur at the moment of faith for those 3,000 Jews who came to faith with Peter's sermon.
Mm-hmm.
They had to repent and then be baptized before they received the Spirit and before they received the forgiveness of sins. In other words, they started the Christian life out of fellowship with God. That's not true today. That's not even possible today. Everybody, Acts 10:43 says, whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. Everybody starts the Christian life forgiven, mm-hmm. according to what Peter said, but that is with the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household. And by the way, Cornelius and his household are regenerated, indwelt, baptized, and right. sealed, all by the Holy Spirit, all at the moment of faith.
Right.
That's the pattern for today. But Acts is a transitional book.
Yes, it is.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
And so at the very beginning, some people were regenerated and sealed, but not yet indwelt and baptized. Here's another example. Philip the evangelist going to Samaria and evangelizing people. Isn't that what, Acts 8? First, he goes to the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he goes to Samaria. Well, actually, I got it backwards. First, he goes to Samaria, and then I guess he goes to the Ethiopian eunuch. When he's in Samaria, he evangelizes them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he invites them to be baptized, and they submit to Christian baptism. But guess when they receive the Holy Spirit?
When?
When Peter and John come down from Jerusalem and lay hands on them. And remember, Simon wants to buy the gift of laying hands on people so they can receive the Spirit. Later, buying church office was called simony. Some people think Simon wasn't born again because Peter says, may God grant you repentance so that you would not perish. Well, he meant physically die.
Right.
He didn't mean be eternally condemned.
It wasn't spiritual. Yeah.
Yeah, he was born again already at this point. So why do we say the church began in Acts chapter 2? Well, because the church couldn't begin until the Holy Spirit baptized people into it.
Right. It was at that point that the Holy Spirit, at the moment of faith, would indwell that person.
Right.
That believer. And that happened right there at Acts chapter 2.
Right.
And to me, that's the strongest argument as to when the church came to be.
Well, look up 1 Corinthians 12:13, because I think 1 Corinthians 12:13 highlights the key ministry of the Holy Spirit in terms of baptism.
It says here, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, capital S.
Okay, so we were all baptized into one body. What body would that be?
Don't rush me. Is this a pop quiz?
This is. I think this would be the body of Christ. Remember on the road to Damascus, Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Right.
He wasn't persecuting Jesus.
No.
He was persecuting the church. But hello, the church is
the body of Christ.
So as a result, we were all baptized into one body, the church,
mm-hmm.
by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, that didn't begin until Acts chapter 2. As you say, they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The apostles were, and the other people from around, other believers, there were hundreds of them that were there. They were all speaking in tongues, and they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But they were also at that time baptized into the body of Christ.
Right.
But these other Jews who hear Peter's sermon and come to faith, and then they say, they were cut to the heart, and they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they want to know. They know now. They believe they've crucified the Messiah. Mm-hmm. They believe in Jesus for their everlasting life. They know they're born again. But they know they've committed a horrendous crime of having killed the Messiah. Peter doesn't tell them what to do to be born again. They're already born again. He tells them what to do in order to receive the Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. When they did that, well, then he baptized 3,000 people, and they did receive the Spirit. They did receive the forgiveness of sins. You have the same thing in Acts 22:16, where Paul is told, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul was born again on the road to Damascus 3 days earlier, but Ananias tells him to be baptized so that he might wash away his sins by calling on the name of the Lord.
Right.
Well, why weren't his sins washed away when he came to faith? Because during the transition era, those who were guilty of having crucified Christ, or in Paul's case, we're not sure, was he in Palestine during the time when Jesus was crucified? We don't know. But what we do know, he's guilty of persecuting the church,
right,
capturing Christians and taking them to Jerusalem to be tried and probably executed.
Right.
He was there when Stephen, for example, was martyred.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, he too had to be baptized before he was going to receive the forgiveness of sins and receive the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit and be baptized into the body of Christ. But once we get to Acts chapter 10, we have the pattern that exists today. I should mention there are people who hold to the church starting in the middle of Acts or even later in the book of Acts. Part of the reason they do that is because we see some shifts taking place. At the beginning, it seems to be Jewish only, then it's Jews and Samaritans, then it's Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just part of the development of the church, but
right,
it doesn't mean the church began in Acts 10.
Right.
It began in Acts 2. But there were some changes.
And then spread from there.
Yes.
To Samaria and then to the Gentile world.
It sounds a little bit like you'll be my disciples in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth.
That's an amazing correlation.
Anyway, Greg, great question. By the way, I like your name. Gregoreo in Greek means watch or be watchful. We should be watching for his soon return, and we do that by keeping
grace
in
focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, what about people who lived in Old Testament times but did not hear about a coming Messiah? We will talk about it. Join us. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.